success. And I believe, as I look at, make his eye contact with as many people as possible, that God has a purpose for you. He has a reason for you to be here. You may have arrived this morning and gone, I have no idea why I'm here. I don't really even want to be here. But God has a reason for you to be here. And I hope and I pray in my personal prayer. I did it last night. God wakes me up at weird hours throughout the night, particularly on Saturdays. Earlier in the week when we were setting up the chairs and cleaning in here, I was praying for the people that be sitting on the chair. So you have already been prayed for. And so in a positive way, as you leave today, you can tell people, I was an answer to someone's prayer. And with that, we want to look at the fact that God has a pathway to success for you. It may not be what society calls success, but when God gives you a goal and a purpose in life, and you are simply fulfilling that purpose, everyone else around you may say, you are crazy. But we know through the Word of God, time and time again, He takes the crazy and turns it into the magnificent. This series, we have a definition of success we've been building upon. Success is the continuing achievement of becoming the person God wants you to be and accomplishing the goals God has helped you set. God has a plan for success, and it begins with the what. What do I want you to do? There's a universal plan that He has for every single person. He wants you to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He has a plan and a purpose for your life in that He says it's for you specifically. So we have the what. Also with the what, He has a specific plan in that go do this. He's given you different skills, different abilities, opportunities. And something I've said many times in the past, He's given you just enough time, just enough resources to fulfill the plan and a purpose that He has for you. But also with that, it's the how. And last week we began, and I left you on a cliffhanger, right on the edge of the story with David and Goliath. We begin this account with David. He was a young man as a teenager who had been anointed as the future king of Israel by the prophet Samuel. If you have your Bibles open to the 1 Samuel chapter number 17, we'll read through the several passages there. Let me give you some background. Israel and the Philistines were heading face to face. On one side of a valley was the armies of Israel, led by their king, a man named Saul. On the other side, there was the Philistines, the enemy. And their champion was a man named Goliath. And the Bible describes him as being a giant, and it describes the fact that he is over 9 feet tall. He's a little shorty. He had armor that was incredibly heavy, and he was a warrior, and he was their champion. And they made a claim on one side where Goliath went out over the course of every day, morning and evening for 40 days, crying out, defying God. In fact, in 1 Samuel 17, verse 10, he says, and the Philistines said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. And he went on, and basically he was defying and saying, my God, the Philistines' God, is greater than your God, Jehovah God, the creator of the universe, God, the one that we serve. And Goliath made a critical error. He made it a spiritual battle, not just a physical battle. Because along comes young David, sent by his father to go and check on his older brothers who were supposed to be fighting in the battle, but basically they've been standing there for 40 days, waiting and waiting for someone in Israel to put their hand up and go, I will fight against Goliath. David hears this giant defying his God and says, somebody needs to do something about that. Now, a little side note, it's so easy to say somebody needs to do something about that. If God's working in your heart to do something, maybe that someone is you. Maybe God's calling you to do something that is absolutely incredible, far beyond what physically you can really handle on your own, and certainly everyone else agrees that you cannot do this. Today, our principle is this. Every single Sunday, we have a principle that you can apply to your life, And that way, hopefully, in a positive way, you know what we're speaking of each week. It says this: how I reach God's goal is critical to being successful. How I reach God's goal is critical to being successful. David, teenager, went before the king and said, I will go and represent God and Israel, and I will fight against this giant. And the king said, he'll kill you. Now, you cannot do this. This man, he's been a warrior since his youth, and he'll die. I can't send a teenage boy to go fight the battle. And then David, through his strength and the fact that he used his past experiences, the fact that God had allowed him to protect his father's sheep by killing a lion and a bear, and I mean, that right there is pretty incredible. So he convinced the king that he could fight the battle, and therefore the king said, go. And he said, wear my armor. So he put the king's armor on. The Bible describes in other passages as Saul, the king, was head and shoulders in height, taller than everyone else. And so you imagine, a teenage boy puts the armor on and it says, to paraphrase, I can't even move. And you imagine. So therefore, in their mindset, the right way to fight a battle is you have to look exactly this way. You have to look this way. You have to act this way. You have to be this in order to be successful. And David, looking like he was supposed to be successful, couldn't even move. So therefore, he had to take off that armor and said, I can't wear this. And he went down and he took what he knew. And he took the skills and the abilities and the resources that God had already blessed him with and did something absolutely miraculous. If you have your Bibles, open to 1 Samuel 17. We'll look at verse number 40 and we're going to read a number of verses. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook, and he put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. He took five smooth stones from a riverbed, and a sling was a small bit of leather with some strapping around it. And what they would do is they put a rock in there and swing it around, and they released one of the strings, and it would open up the sling, and they'd fling a rock really, really fast. And that's how they would fight. That's how they would protect their sheep. This is a shepherd's tool. Go down to verse number 45. Then David said to the Philistines. Now, if you remember, we began this last week. This is ancient Israel, your mama. This is trash talking right here. And he's using some incredible things as a basis. Verse 45, and David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. And he goes on and describes it. And I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. This is incredibly violent things he's speaking of. This is not your G-rated kids program stuff. This is pretty intense. That the earth may know, and this is the reason. This is why he was doing what he was doing. It wasn't just to win a battle. It wasn't to get acclaim and the respect of his family. It says that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47. And all the assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Then the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. David ran quickly towards the battle to meet the Philistine. Now, the way they would fight back then is, and Goliath was perfectly, as a large man, was perfect for this sort of battle. They would have a large shield, and he have a shield bearer that stand before him. And he had this armor, and like the Bible describes his armor as being so heavy, it's about 120 kilos in weight, incredibly huge armor that he was wearing. And he would have a sword and also have a spear. And the Bible describes his spear as being huge. The end of the spear was about 8 kilos in weight, incredibly huge. And what they would do is stand behind the shield, and they come to the side, and they would launch out. You know, it's jab, or with the spear, I'm going to stab you with it. And then they go back behind the shield to protect themselves. And they do that back and forth. The battle that they were about to fight, David was absolutely totally ill-prepared for if that was the battle. Because he didn't have a sword, he didn't have a shield, and there was no one in front of him to protect, to stand behind. And so David, rather than standing there and say, okay, Goliath, I'm just going to sit back and do nothing. God says I'm going to win this battle, but I'm just going to do nothing. He went out, and it says that he ran quickly. He was proactive, and he went out. I believe he took Goliath totally by surprise, because Goliath thought, well, what's this guy doing? I'm just going to go up to him and stab him. Verse 49, and David put his hand into his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head. I'm not going to be too graphic here, but I mean, that's pretty disgusting stuff. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. They went from being, we are the champions, we're going to win this. And you can imagine the music going. We're going to win this battle. Our champion's going to win, and our God is better than your God. And they saw that this young shepherd boy with a rock and with a little bit of leather strapping, a sling, defeated their champion. It says there, they fled. Over the course of last week and then building upon it into this week, we have different principles that we want to talk about, aspects of goal setting. In the previous weeks, there's a list of 10 of them. We had a clear picture of the goal, consuming desire to reach your goal, confidence that you'll reach your goal, a course of action, and finally a calendar of events. So it was today we're going to begin. And this morning, I'm going to very, very quickly go through numbers 6 through 10, where it says a cooperation of others, consistency in the pursuit of goals, controlling your emotions, courage to act, and finally, a conscious dependence on God. Let's begin with the first one, number 6, is the cooperation of others. David killed one man that day. He did not defeat the entire Philistine army, but it gave him and the others the courage to follow along. The incredible thing with this is that David began before the battle. He had been told by his brother, be quiet, stop riling up people. And then he took that and went on to others. And then finally the king heard. And in front of the king himself, King Saul, in verse number 32, it says, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David was sharing what God had done in his life in order to encourage others. But then once the battle began and Goliath was defeated, it was the courage and the courageous faith that he had. And someone said this, no goal that God gives to an individual is in isolation. No goal that God gives to an individual is in isolation. I believe that God has a specific plan and a purpose for us. But you know what the incredible thing is? Your following God's plan and purpose in your life can be something contagious for others. Some of you have colds. Stay away from me. There's another sort of contagion, something that's contagious, that I do want. When you are experiencing something in your life and you have a great deal of faith and things are going well, I want to hear your stories because, do you know what? Your stories encourage me. And when I go through a difficult time, I can think back, what did God do in their life? What has he done in my life? That I can build that together as a source of courage for us to move forward. It's more than just dressing up and acting like you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Some of you are sports fans, and you can dress in your Eagles gear, because that's the only real team. And you dress in your Eagles gear, and you can have the Guernsey, you can have the shorts, you can have everything all dressed up, and you can say, oh, obviously your favorite team is the Eagles. And you go, oh, absolutely, I love the Eagles. So have you ever been to a game? Oh, I've never been to a game. So you watch it on TV or listen to it on the radio? I never listen to it on the radio. I watch it on TV. So who's your favorite player? Oh, I don't know any of the players' names. But I'm their number one fan. I believe when we work with others, we go beyond simply being a fan and dressing up and looking that way to be something that we can actually move forward with and be the person that God wants us to be. And we can do that with others. They had an incredible battle win. In verse 52 and 53, it's on the screen for you to follow. It says, "The men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines. So they wounded the Philistines on that day." In verse 53, "And they plundered their camp." They had a total, absolute victory. But it wasn't just a once-off. It was a consistency in the pursuit of the goals. We're looking at David, this young teenager who later on became the king of Israel, the great-great-great-great-grandfather of Jesus Christ himself, an incredible honor. But it began with him simply being the person that God wanted him to be on that day. It's all well and good to someday know, someday I'm going to be the king. Someday God's going to do great things through me. Someday it's going to happen. Someday it never comes. What is God doing in your life that you can respond to today, if not right now? There's a consistency over time. He saw it through to the end. He didn't just throw the rock and knock Goliath down. He made sure that the job was 100% done. The rock may have killed him, or definitely he was done when his head was cut off. He saw it through to the end. It was a consistency that worked in over time. Verse number 37 of that passage says, "And David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines.'" There's times in your life where you are today and the things that you're going through, whether they're ups or whether they're downs, wherever you are on that scale, whether this has been a great week or a really difficult week, you can look back on your past and say, "God, you're taking care of me here. You'll continue to take care of me in the future." It's something I find incredibly frustrating in life. You have to keep going to the gym. I'm no longer a gym member, and neither do I choose to be, because I'm happily married. I don't have anyone depressed. But yeah, there was a time period that Tammy and I were both members of Gold's Gym in the U.S. And in fact, it was $10 a month. That's how cheap it was. It was incredible. You go there, incredible bodybuilders that you'd be next to, and you go, I just don't like being sore. So, like, and you look at them, and you go once, and you go, "Where's my six-pack? Why? What happened to it?" And I actually have a spiritual part of this, okay? You ready for the transition? In your life, you may have read your Bible. You may have prayed. You may have done something for God in the past. Tremendous. Praise God for that. But there's a consistency. What is God doing in you today? How is he using you and growing you today? Because what he did in the past was to get you to where you are today, and now he needs to continue to grow you to take you where he wants you to go in the future. And there's a real incredible principle there of consistency in the pursuit of your godly goal. Because that, with that consistency, drives and grows commitment. Number 8 is something that it's really where I wanted to be today. That's why I've kind of rushed to get to this point, is the controlling of your emotions. David, as a teenage young man, had every opportunity and really every excuse to allow his emotions to overwhelm him. He had been told by others. In fact, it says here in verses 16 and also in verse 24, other people didn't have the same faith that he did. It says, "The Philistines said to David, 'Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field.'" You imagine, the giant has just told them, "I'm going to destroy you and I'm going to destroy your entire nation." That's incredibly scary. He could have allowed his emotions to overwhelm him. Verse 24, "And all the men of Israel saw the man, fled from him, and were much afraid." And he wouldn't have been alone. Everyone else was afraid too. He could have quite easily and justifiably in society been scared to the point where he did absolutely nothing. And he also, with that, he could have been incredibly frustrated with others. You look at them and they go, "Why don't you have the same faith that I have? Why don't you know what I know? Don't you know that this is a spiritual battle? Don't you know that what God is doing in your life?" You look at others, you think, why haven't God done in their lives what he's done in my life. Why don't they know what I know? Some of you go to work and you work with people that are not always honest. You work with people that are somewhat difficult. And you may have become frustrated with them. Does that mean that you lose your faith because of what someone else has done? Or does it actually turn back and go, God, you've told me this. I don't always understand it. I don't see the end, but I'm going to continue to be controlled, in a sense, positively control my emotions because other people are not going to control me. The next is he could become angry with leadership. The leader, the king, who the man who later on in passages he describes as holding on a pedestal. He had incredible respect for the position of the king of Israel. In verse 33, the king said to him, and Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine and fight with him. Tell you what, that's really inspiring words from your king. You can't do this. And you can forget anything else someone else has said to you, and all you hear is that one negative statement where that begins to define who you are. When you respect someone else, their words mean a great deal, and they may say 50 nice things, and they say one thing that's discouraging to you. What is it that you focus upon? I'm discovering this with my children. Discovering, I messed up once or twice or 10 times. That you continually encourage them. And you back it up. And you, if you have something difficult to tell them, absolutely, you tell them the truth. But you don't make it, you know, personal. Then you build them up. And you find them doing good things and you build them up. You become angry at leaders. But also part of the emotion is the scariness of the unknown. I believe the scariest thing in the entire world is not spiders or snakes even. The scariest thing in the entire world is the unknown. When you don't know what's behind that door. Particularly the scary movies. Because the scary movies, they tell you, because they tell you by music. Don't. Then you know there's something scary behind the door, and you tell yourself, don't open that door. The scariness of the unknown is, the second part of verse 33 is, you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. Use David as the example here. The scariness of the unknown was, I've never ever fought against a giant before. A bear, a lion, I've done that, but I've never fought against a giant before. There's things in your life that you've never ever done before that you're going to have to face probably in the near future. Are you going to allow the fear of the unknown to define you and to control you? I believe controlling your emotions is absolutely critical because that's how we have the courage to act and move forward. And I believe, particularly the young people here, but really all of us, but the young people here, when you have your emotions in control, when you understand the truth of the Word of God, it gives you the courage to act. Many of you, when you go to school tomorrow, you're going to need the courage to act and live out what you say you believe on Sunday. The same thing for your parents. Did you know that? We'll talk to the kids here and the teenagers for just a moment. You think that peer pressure is just simply something that's faced by kids, and you think, oh, I cannot wait till I get out of high school. There's no more peer pressure. Everyone's nice to each other at work. And not at all. You need the courage to act. In verse number 36, he used his past, talking about the lion and the bear. In verse number 37, he received encouragement and support from others. The king, he changed his mind. He went from being, you can't do this, he's going to kill you, to, it says in verse 37, go and the Lord be with you. And he took that on and says, I have the courage to act. I have the courage to do the things that God wants me to do. Because with that, and this is something I think, believe every single one of us absolutely requires in order to be successful in fulfilling God's plan and purpose for your lives, whatever that is. I very much doubt that God has a 9-foot giant for you to kill. But I do believe there's Goliaths in your life. There are different things that you may have been carrying around, and you may be a lot longer than 40 days that you've been harassed by this giant in your life, calling out to you morning and evening that you can't do this, you can't accomplish anything, and it becomes to define who you are, and you've gone from being courageous to living a life of fear. And I believe number 10 is absolutely critical. And this is the final point. is a conscious dependence on God. I am constantly conscious, I have to say that, to say that 10 times fast, of the fact that God, I absolutely need you. Mark and Ashley are starting a church in a couple of weeks. I guarantee their prayer life. They're down on their knees praying, God, will you please bless us, protect us? And we will, as a church, we will join them in prayer. And particularly in the coming weeks and the following, we will remember them in prayer and we'll update you how what God's doing in their life. But it's not just in the difficult times when you know there's something big you have to face. It's in the seemingly mundane times when you're just going through the motions. Everything's easy. The bills are being paid. The kids are healthy. Everything seems to be getting along well with your husband and wife and your relationship. And you're seemingly mundane. Is that's when we forget that we're consciously dependent upon God for success. I'm thinking in my mind, God, I need you in the high times, the low times, and even the mundane times. How I reach God's goal is critical to being successful. That's our principle for today. As we develop this series of success and living real success, God's success, I'm going to give you a little commercial break for next Sunday. Next Sunday, we're going to be speaking from Hebrews chapter number 12, but using roadblocks to our success. And I believe in every single one of our lives, we have roadblocks that stop us. And sometimes these roadblocks are, we get around them quickly. Other times it's years, if not decades, that we fight against them. And we're going to be using over two Sundays developing the principles we find in the Word of God to help us overcome the roadblocks that we often place upon ourselves to be the people that God wants us to be and to do the things that He wants us to do. Let me pray for you. Let's pray together. Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for us. You have a reason for us to be here. I believe that you want us to be successful. The society around us may look at us and go, what are you doing? You're fools. You don't understand. You're not living life correctly. But we know if we live according to your plan and your purpose that we truly can be and will be successful. But I pray that as we go out this week that we won't just go through the motions of life anymore, but we will live in dependence upon you. Constantly understanding and knowing that you've called us for a plan and for a purpose. Lord, I pray that there's someone here specifically this morning that is struggling and going through difficulties, that you'll bless them, encourage them. I pray that they will leave as people that are closer to you as a result. In Jesus' name, amen.